Anyway, John, Clapham. Let's go. Where are we starting from?
So, let's talk a bit about Clapham. What is it about it, this area? It's a big, big, if we look, go back to 60s, 70s, working class area.
Yeah.
Lots of Irish, lots of ethnic minorities.
Yeah.
So it was lots of people that had moved into London in the 50s and the 60s. I had an auntie who lived on the Clapham Common North side.
Mm-hmm. That was a posh area, wasn't it?
Well, now it really is the posh area. But I think what we notice about Clapham is after Big Bang. Do you remember Big Bang? You know, when the stock market changed, when people started holding car batteries to their ears and they called them phones.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because they did look like bricks, effectively. This area started to change. People couldn't afford to live in Kensington and Chelsea, i.e. Kings Road, Fulham Road. So people migrated south of the Thames. And with the migration of those that worked within the city, and this what happened right through the 80s, 90s, what we notice is other people moved out. And people bought these terraced houses. They bought their Georgian houses off them. They bought the council houses that people had bought off the council. And the area changed demographically. You've still got a good social mix here in this area.
Mm-hmm.
Still lots of social stroke council housing. But what we'll notice on this walk is as we go down North Street through the old town, it becomes grandiose to the point. And history, deep, amazing history. I mean, you know, when we get to this particularly Holy Trinity Church, amazing history. Actually, very, very proud to walk on some hallowed ground here.
Holy Trinity Church, where would that be?
That's on the actual, we're talking between the pavement and the Rookery Road. You've got this pond called Cock Pond with mm-hmm. no water in. That's a bit annoying. So it's between Long Road, Rookery Road and the pavement. And you can see it, it's quite imposing it is. So if you were to come down North Street into the old town, but then head on the pavement and then bear right to go on Clapham Common South side, in the middle there's a big church. Now what you will notice when we get there's lots of big old mature trees. So you don't often see the church, only at certain angles you'll see it. So if you were in Long Road and you were going to turn right into Rookery Road to get back to the old town, then you'll notice the church, you will.
That's right, I was christened.
It appears out of nowhere.
I was christened.
And this is an amazing church. You know, proud to stand there, though, I was actually. And we'll come to it, because it's something that gets discussed on this show a lot. But the North Street Clapham, well, what's it like? Well, it's odd, actually. We've got the Wandsworth Road left to right.
Yeah.
So we're going to look down North Street, on the right, a really trendy bar, the Artesian Well.
Mm-hmm.
It's up on the second floor, you can, the Mirrorball. I mean, you know, it looks quite a party place. Tends to be only, I tend to find it's only really busy weekends. It doesn't seem to be busy any other times. And because of the smoking laws, again, everyone's standing outside. So even when it ain't busy, it looks busy. But when you look beyond, mm-hmm. sometimes it is busy.
Smoking ban's great for getting a drink, isn't it? Because there's no one at the bar.
You get to the bar, you can. You just can't get through the door. That's the problem I tend to find, or you can't get through the smoke. Then on the other corner is you've got a minigab office. And the building above it is crumbling a bit. Does need a little bit of work. And now what is funny here, what was there tonight? I go down North Street, and I was in my cab on this part, there's a no right turn from North Street into Wandsworth Road. And they've only parked up one of them little CCTV cars. Now, you know, it's getting to the point, is his big brother's going wrong? What is up with us? You know, look, if someone does a banned turn, fine. Nick him for doing a banned turn.
Yeah.
But we don't need a car sitting there with a little telescopic pole that isn't even extended. It's as low as it can be so that you can't see it. You know, all right, you could argue there could be a police car sitting there. But then they'd put their light on and then make an example of someone. And that will suffice. That will stop most people misbehaving. And most, but let's be honest, don't do banned right turns. But it just seemed a bit odd there. I found that quite sad that we got a council doing that.
Yeah.
But what do we notice about the North Street anyway? It is becoming middle class. There's no doubt about this. You can just see it. On the left-hand side as we walk down, it's Victorian houses. On the right side, you know why they're Victorian? You've got the bay windows, your traditional bay window. On the right hand side, flat fronted, looking quite Georgian. Then we have some sort of like 1960s, 70s, a couple of little properties dotted in there. And then on our left hand side, we come along to a string of shops. And then there used to be a lovely little pub now on the right hand side. It's now called, it's a dim sum bar, like Traders it is. Like.
Yep.
It used to be a little public house, though. I can't mm-hmm. think of the name of it, or Robin something. It was like a real cute little pub. Just changed hands, it has, like, so we've got a little wine bar eatery there now instead. And then as you move further down the road, what you'll notice, still on North Street, quite a modern-y building, big on the side, a Virgin Active, it's a gym. And again, it gives you another clue of what the area's like.
Because that was opposite there was where I was born.
Wow.
Clark House.
Yeah.
Right opposite that gym.
Wow. Yeah, well, I mean, it just shows you, Virgin Active. We're talking people who are prepared to spend 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, £100 a month.
It's a Necco factory.
Hmm. Amazing.
Yeah. Wow. No, seriously, yeah, that's where I was born. John, this is bringing back all these memories.
It will do. I mean, it's like, because this is, this links in brilliantly, do you know what? This walk links in brilliantly with some of the stuff we talked about on the show throughout the last few months.
Mad Frankie Fraser had the pub there.
Oh, yeah.
The North Star.
I've met him a few times in Woolworth. Right. I mean, he's the one man who can walk away from a cab. You know, you just don't even ask for the fare. It's all right, Frank, have it. I mean, he don't open that turn round. He doesn't even bother. Yeah, he just walks. Because it's on the ass. Yeah, he knows it's on the ass. he's well old now. Do you mean he's like, I'm not knocking him. Hello, if you're listening, good morning.
How do you, Frank? All right.
Affairs on me anytime. Do you mean, no, I mean, you know, it's a bit of respect, isn't it, I suppose. You know.
Although he was a violent thug gangster who went to prison for, you know, over a quarter of a century for doing the most unspeakable things. Mm. You know, at the drop of that, he had no compunction. Because this was the Richardson's area.
Of course it was, their manor. I mean, I used to work in a chemist in Woolworth. Tommy Knight's dead now. And Tommy used to have a picture of him with Richardson next to him, Charlie next to him, with the you know, the thin lapel, that Italian look, that Maltese look, the thin tie. You know, the sharp mark, the white collar, very dapper.
Yeah.
You know, because that's all you had in them days, wasn't it? You had to be dapper, you know, because we didn't have money.
But in the courtyard of our flats there, John, I was about six, I think, 5 or 6 years old, and there was a massive punch-up in the courtyard. I mean, huge punch-up. Must have been about 25, 30 blokes. And from where we were sitting, you could see the police cars round the corner, not coming in until it had all gone off. And, I mean, I didn't realise the full horror of it. I mean, it just looked like, you know, cowboys and Indians, as far as I was concerned. A massive pitch battle out there, you know, with people with axes and all sorts. I mean, people must have been seriously injured. As I said, as a kid, I didn't realise really what was going on. You know, just sitting there with my brother watching it, and, you know, like, no one coming out. Mad Frankie Fraser at the pub there. Anyway, carry on. We're right at my birthplace, lovely.
We're right at it. Anyway, now, if we move further down, what we'll notice is there's a bit of building going on. And again, you'll see on the left-hand side, there's a bit of a building site.
That was my school.
Yeah. Well, there's lots of little plots here going on.
That little island, that used to be my school.
Well, we're going to come down another little island shortly, which is like a bus stand. I mean, it's an odd little name it has as well, which is, it's quite twee, it is, this area. Now, what we move into now is we start to get into the old town. And now, what is there is in the old town is this beautiful square.
Mm-hmm.
You go past the fire station.
Yeah.
Real 1960s. You can just see, like, the London Fire Civil Defence Authority. It's just the GLC new build.
Mm-hmm.
Go left into Grafton Square. And this is a beautiful square, a Victorian square. Wonderful new build as you get towards the square. On the right, wonderful little green play area in the middle for children. So just take a little walk around that square. It's important, I think, just to see, you know, again, how these people built squares, grass here in the middle, very simple. Your kids can go and play out and you can keep an eye on them.
Mm-hmm.
So simple. And this is used, actually. It's in the London Borough of Lambeth. And you can see it's used because there's a little swing, there's little bits in there for some of the young toddlers. And you can just, it's got the fit. It's not like those squares where you see, you know, like this completely hedges all round it. You can't see it, and you know everyone's got a key to it, and I was let in. This is actually open. It looks like it's an open square. Looked good, it did, just the fact that people have been using it, and the grass looked a bit worn. So it wasn't just there for look alone. But what you did notice is, as you walk in that first corner of Grant Square, wonderful new build being done there on some flats, and most had sold. So come back out the square. What I did notice as well also is the flats for the firemen. There actually are a lot of apartments there for the firemen, you know, and again, they match the build of the fire station they're doing. It's not often you notice it, is it? You know, you just take them things for granted, those people do that type of job.
Mm-hmm.
And there they are, and it must be boring, you know, sitting round at times, you know, just wondering when the next call is, what the next shout will be, but then, you know, when that bell goes, when that phone goes, well, them guys are out there, and they're off, and they're ready to do whatever is needed of them. So, get back onto Grafton Square. Now, what is interesting here is we have Maritime House. Now, Maritime House used to be the Seamen's Union.
That's right.
Yeah, now, which is part of the RMT, in the news today, calling off a recent strike they have. Fantastic news for London. Got a better improved offer from Tube Lines. Didn't get everything they want. Been, you know, Bob Crowe's been on tonight on BBC London. You know, you have to hand it to the man. I mean, it's, you know, a union leader and a half.
Yeah.
I mean, but What was interesting about this building, for the first time ever, I took a step back across the road and looked up. And what you'll notice is the bow of a ship with a head upon it.
And that's
then,
right.
And then a load and a couple of fish sticking out of the tower. Now, there's a solicitor's in there. There's a job centre now, and it's still part RMT. I think they've let part of the building out, obviously. You can see it, because their head office is up in... Because it was a merger between the National Union of Railwaymen and the Seamen's Union, created the Rail and Maritime Transport Union. And then I think they have some... They still have some property in the area. I know how I know that. I've dropped off members of their executive I have down that area, and they stay there when they're in London sometimes, when they're travelling about.
When I was a kid, that used to be a place where you used to have political hustings all the time.
I can well imagine.
I remember seeing Harold Wilson stand outside there and give a talk.
And I tell you what, if you go up to the doors, beautiful brown wooden doors, and they've got two big ships on them, in big circle, big, tall ships, just engraved upon the wood on the door. And you know, you really have got to stick your neck up, got the big RMT flag flying, you know, I mean, he's good on him, you got to say that, you know, he's flying over Clapham Rail Maritime Transport Union. Well, you know, in a sense, you got to say, well done, you've got the flag up there.
Yeah.
And but it's quite funny to watch the, you know, to actually look at it, because it's got a 1950s, 60s feel, brick feel about the building. And then you think, hang on a minute, they're like just two big fishes. They are two big fish heads that is sticking out, and then that bow, and you can't really make out what's on the end of the actual. It's a head. You can't make out what the head, the description of it is. So, if we move a little bit.
Oh, actually, Sweetcorn said there's a lot of flats in Maritime House, as well, because Angel Continental Bakeries deliver there.
Do they?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
so it's flats now.
It's flats as well. My God, well, there you go.
I think it used to be a hold for pirates when I was a kid. Every now and then you'd see you know, like the merchant seaman.
Fine, that John Prescott used to have a flat there, didn't he?
Yeah.
Because
he probably lived there when I was.
Well, he was, and if you remember, his career was.
He's a purser, wasn't he?
Yeah, on a ship, a steward. So, I mean, we're talking, and that would have been his union.
Mm hmm.
You know, so I mean, it's again we're linking people here, and you know, so what we're hearing about an area now. It's opposite. It's a very Georgian look, very very Georgian look, and you've got other parts of it, Macaulay Square stuff around the back, and it's just got this nice feel about it. What you notice now is there's a lot of modern trendy bars. Now, what was interesting just past now Maritime House, there's a little row of houses,
mm-hmm.
and you know. Absolutely beautiful. And then on the end one, I'm not going to say the number, you'll notice a blue plaque, and it says it's about John Francis Bentley, and we're talking about an architect born in Doncaster, Yorkshireman, 1839, and then died in London February 1902. It turns out, and this is what's so funny, this guy was responsible for the architecture work on Westminster Cathedral. And this is, you know, it's just amazing to think. I mean, and he was a Roman Catholic, and then he got commissioned. But I don't think he ever become a proper member of the Royal Institute of British Architects. And he never got to see the work, because the work they're saying in Westminster has never been completed.
Right.
You know, and it's Byzantine, they call it, the design outside in it. So it's got, if you notice Westminster Cathedral in Victoria Street there, it has an influence, it does, of the Moors, of a Muslim influence, it does. Mm-hmm. That's a very, very tall tower. It's not your traditional church as we build them, be it Catholic or Church of England. And so it was different how things were built. And the guy lived here. You know, and I was like, wow, didn't expect that. And there is a little close, just isn't there, Francis Bentley Way, it is, like, just down the side. And there's some very, very modern, like, well, it's private gated, but some modern little flats. Just a right little small close between Maritime House and this little row of three or four beautiful houses. So when you see those blue plaques, if you're out there, those walks, mm-hmm. they mean something.
Yeah, yeah.
They really do. You don't get your name put on one if you're a nobody and you didn't do something. You only, you know... You're there but for a reason. You made a difference, and you made something happening. So, you know, that I wasn't expecting. Wasn't expecting at all. But what's odd now, you know, you're right near the old RMT Transport Union. In the middle of the road is a bus stand. You know, and it's, you know, you've got a bus stop that's sort of like sideways, and it just don't seem right. You know, you've got this bus stand. There you are in this beautiful part of London, and there's buses just turning around, and four or five of them stop their parks, you know. That's when they have a break, when they're on a turnaround, end of a shift. You know, and the bus stop just seems weird. And there's a bench that's facing the buses, and yet behind it is a beautiful pub, the Rose and Crown.
Yeah, lovely,
just sitting there, proper old boozer. But you can't see it because the buses are in the way. It actually get past the buses, do you actually notice it? But you think, great boozer, You imagine you're sitting in and you look and you'll just see the sides of a bus. You know,
when I was a kid, all the bus drivers used to go in there. And you think to yourself, they wouldn't be allowed to do that now.
Yes, yeah, have an orange juice.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll have a pint of brown orange juice, please, yeah.
Yeah, no, but I mean, it's... And this little bit in the road, they call it the polygon. And it's a funny little shape, isn't it? It's just an odd shape, isn't it? And it's just there. It just exists.
Yeah. A friend of mine used to live in one of those houses.
Really? There's a little block of little houses just
there. At the time, it was seen as a bit of a rundown old chap or poor person. Probably worth about £4 million now.
No, not now. Especially when we move on a bit further. Because, I mean, this walk, I was going to just go walk along the pavement and then just turn left into Clapham Park Road. But it just got more interesting as we went along. So, what you'll notice is there's another bar on the left called The Sun. I mean, I've missed another. There's lots of bars around here. I mean, this area is just bars are popping up left, right, and centre because Clapham High Street's gone crazy. Like, it's just like, you know, Ibiza in South East London in the summertime when the sun shines. But we're at the Old Town bit there. So I carried on walking along and then I crossed over the pavement I did and I saw what it shows it on the map called Cock Pond, completely devoid of water.
Yep.
And I think that's... I don't think I've ever seen it actually with water in it, unless it's rained heavily. I mean, it just seems to be one of those things that I don't think they want to use it, you know, the council. It's and what did concern me down that bit of grass, a bit of rubbish lying around. It didn't match the houses, how well and smart the houses and the shops looked. You know, and this was, what, 5, 6, about 7:45 tonight. So I would have expected somebody to have been down there and cleared up by now.
Mm-hmm.
And this wasn't just in, it wasn't stuff being windswept. This was rubbish. And then what you did notice was there was a few people with a few tins hanging around. You know, it does happen, doesn't it? People hanging around commons and parks. Yeah. And you know.
Well, because it's something they need somewhere to go.
Yeah.
Yes?
And it's just sad to see. You know, it's just, for me, it was just sad to see when you see things like that. So I'm by the Cock Pond. So what have I done? I just walked across. I walked across the actual bit of common there,
mm-hmm.
and then I come to this massive church,
yep.
Holy Trinity.
We used to have our assemblies in there every morning. I know that inside out, I was christened in that church, and I'd go there just about every
school. Is that a Catholic there. Church?
No.
No, it's not. So no. It's a C of E.
Church, yeah, C of E church.
C of E, it's an imposing building.
Mm.
The rear end of it is just amazing. You know, the stone side of it. It's brick built. It's got beautiful, like, old leaded windows it has. Not stained glass. You didn't see much of that. But you've got a really beautiful arch. And then you see the two columns and then the arch over it, where you seem to have them conjoined. They it just looks stunning. And it's on two levels, it is. It's very big, very imposing. But again, because the trees are so mature, and they're massive, some of the trees, you don't notice. You don't actually notice. Until I got where I got, you don't actually notice the church. And like I said, if you're driving, you'd have to have come down the pavement, turned right onto literally Long Road, right in the Rookery Road, and then you can see the church for a moment. And the minute you turn right back on a bit of the north side, it just keeps the side of you, and then you lose it, obviously. But I got round to the front of the church and went into the entrance. A beautiful curved entrance, a massive stone cross there in mm-hmm. honour of those that died in the Great War.
Yeah.
We're talking 1914 and 1919, and then obviously a later inscription for 1939 to 1945 for the Second World War. I then turn round, and you just see this small front door. It's just a couple of doors. They're you know, beautiful columns, wonderful brick-built part, again, leading to a beautiful clock face, skyish blue, golden hands on the clock face, lovely light green dome up there, beautiful gold cross on the top, but very unassuming because the colours are pale.
Yeah.
So they don't stand out, you know. But the door's just dark brown. What was really interesting was boot scrapers either side of the door. Great to see them still, because you don't see them that often. You see them down the Church Army flats in Walworth, round the back, off the Wharf Road. There's a couple of rows down there, Portland Street, where you still get them on the Church Army flats, but they're there to scrape the mud off your boots. But, and then, the most interesting fact of all is a plaque. And you'll see the flags up, and it's William Wilberforce. This man was, you know, he cared. I mean,
he was instrumental in bringing the legislation around for the abolition of slavery.
And we're talking, he was born out in Hull in 1759, wealthy merchant. He studied at Cambridge, big friend of William Pitt the Younger, who then became Prime Minister. This is an amazing man. He joined a a Clapham sect, they say, is like evangelical Christians, he did, and he got involved, and he and some of his congregation, this place, they met there, and they campaigned from there. So obviously he was in Parliament, and he campaigned in Parliament to abolish the slave trade. And I think, you know, look, this is just fantastic that it was abolished in 1807, but it wasn't completely. People weren't freed until 1833, mm-hmm. and he died a couple of months after that date. And I did feel a bit moved there. And you're standing on, I think, hallowed ground. You are, and it is holy ground. But the fact that you just imagine it was actually quite quiet there. The other part of the common, no, because of all the roads around it, but it was quite quiet. And you're standing where someone has stood before you, and like people speak passionately on this programme about slavery,
mm-hmm.
you're standing where people have walked through that door and discussed the abolition of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that's an amazing thing, and we should
against
all be proud.
Against the grain as well. Completely
against the grain. Because, you know, if you think his father was a wealthy merchant, I mean, you know, this is a man speaking out against people with money.
Mm-hmm.
People are making money. And people know today, when you speak out against the very wealthy, you can get crushed sometimes. When you speak out against the big corporate, you know, that's why politics is important. There's a way you deal with corporates and companies, and there's a language I think you have to use, or we will have to learn to use. I mean, I've done it in the past. I've made the mistake. You know, you go thumping the table, bang on the door, basically what happens to you, just get shut in your face. You have to learn how to work the system sometimes to make change happen. And I believe this man did. The abolitionist, Thomas Clarkson, he had a massive influence on him. You know, and so this area is rich with history. I mean, when you think about it, working class, immigration, people coming from the idea, you know, that people have come from the West Indies to this part of London, mm-hmm. in the Windrush, and, you know, and moved there, and it's so significant,
yeah.
that there was slavery, you know, you could say was the starting of the abolition of it happened there, and people moved into that area, you know, and here we are talking about it, debating it, you know, literally week on week, and sometimes the debate gets heated, doesn't it? But, you know, we're talking about it, and there was a man who had everything, a privileged background, a privileged life, didn't it? Let's be honest, didn't it? Do it?
No.
He had a conscience, though, and that's the difference. This man cared, and he just didn't care about slavery. He cared about young people. He cared about religion, and he cared about educating the young. And they felt that was important to do that, to give people a chance, health, education, a start in life. You know, and there are still people like that in this country today. And this is a short walk. You know, we've gone from what? Somewhere where you've lived.
Yay!
You know, a trendy bar.
They haven't got a mini flag outside of my house.
No, you know, old Victorian houses, Georgian houses, modern build, a Virgin Active, you know, a beautiful square, a fire station, a trade union office, to, you know, a wonderful looking church. I mean, I got stopped by a couple of people tonight. I mean, they were just cycling, admiring the building. This was so weird. People were cycling and then just stopping, because the flags are out saying 1807, mm-hmm. 2007, and then people are looking and reading, you know, the fact that...
Thinking, hang about, I thought it was 2008.
Yeah, no, yeah. It was last year, obviously, you know, 200 years. And you know, it's on our front door. It's on our front door, this history.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it doesn't matter what colour the bloke is. He stood up and he said, this is wrong. And I'm proud to have walked on those little bit of pavement that man had walked upon, and I'd advise anyone that speaks passionately about slavery, get down there and have a little look.
Because there's a good display about it on the, well, I was there about a month ago, and there was a lovely display about all the work. You know, there's a lot of information about Wilberforce in there.
Yeah, no, it is. I mean, I didn't go in, I had some meetings in there, mm-hmm. at night, but I mean, either side of the door as well, we've got names of local people that died, yeah. you know, the glorious dead in the First World War, 1914, and you see different regiments, Anglian, Scots, all people that live locally, you know, and they're just, you know, it's history, it's time, you know, people have gone, they've given their life for whatever, I mean, you know, and...
Well, do you know what, during the abolition of slavery, the one area that everybody keeps forgetting about is the young mid-20s seamen that used to go out on small clipper ships that were out there chasing pirates on a daily basis. And if it wasn't for them, young, brave men that were basically fast-tracked to patrol that Ivory Coast. You know, they always get forgotten about. You know, small ships, about, you know, like, you know, 12 people on a ship with a couple of guns, and they had to go out there. John, this has brought back a lot of memories to me.
Yeah, it's a short walk, but it's a beautiful walk, because it's got a lot of history. We've gone from literally 2008, and we've gone literally back to 1807, I think. You know, and you're just walking in London. And you know what? This city never ceases to amaze me. If it can do that, I think it can amaze people out there. I really do.
John Le Cabby, thank you very much indeed. We've had a see what I mean, Mel? You don't get that on Ray Khan's show, do you? You know, you don't. Hold up. Are we still on? Hang on. Shh. But Mel, this is mine. Okay? Don't let him have it. Don't let him take it away from me, Mel. Right, okay then. And now the highlight of the show, as we know it. Talk the Walk with John Le Cabby, BBC 94.9.